Welcome to the Teen Literacy Podcast, changing lives one page at a time. Hello, everybody. This is Nick Sanger again with the Teen Literacy Summer Podcast Series. And in this series, remember, we're making our way through the six R's of a successful summer vacation for teachers. Relax, reflect, release tension, replenish energy, read professional books, and revise units and lessons. And we're coming to the end of the series. And I know that many of you are already back at school. I still have a couple of weeks left, but I know that many of you have already started that because I've been reading about your first few days at school on your blogs. And so I wish you all the best for this year, and also for those of you that haven't started yet. So, you know, our list of subscribers is really starting to take off. I want to thank everyone so much for subscribing, whether you're just subscribing to the blog or you're subscribing through podcast reading programs, listening programs like Juice, iTunes, or even Google Reader. Please don't be shy about sending in feedback. I haven't gotten any feedback yet. I'll take that as a good sign, but even if you really do enjoy the podcast, please send me some comments and add to the discussion. And you can always leave comments on the blog at nicksanger.com. You know, if you've visited my website regularly over the past few months, you may have noticed that it's undergone a pretty radical change. I changed the template. I use WordPress, and there are some great templates out there. And the one I had before was okay. I liked the way it looked, but it didn't allow me to do a lot with it. It was kind of a narrow column. And I just switched to the cutline theme. So if you like the way that the website looks now, what I'm using is cutline. And it has some really great ways to customize. One of the things I like best about the new theme is that I can make different header banners, and they'll rotate randomly. If you click around the site, you'll notice you'll get a different header graphic on almost every page. And so what I've done is I've created some banners with famous authors and with famous books that I like, and in different genres. So there's a banner that's all science fiction, and a banner that's all fantasy, and a banner that's mystery. And then I've got, great authors, contemporary authors and ancient authors and authors from, just all different eras. So that's one of my favorite things about the new layout. I've also got some new sponsors that you may have seen. So you can take a look at those. I've added a bookstore. If you look in the upper right hand, the right-hand side of the navigation link, you'll see there's a bookstore there with some of what I think are the most valuable books for teachers to have, especially middle school teachers that are teaching literature to junior high or high school students. And there's lots of things that I'm playing with the sidebars. I've got two sidebars now, so it's really fun for me. I just put in a poll, so if you haven't had a chance to vote in any of the polls yet, go there. And I think right now the poll is what's your favorite type of literature to teach? Novels, poetry, drama, or nonfiction? So that's up there. Make sure you vote in that. And, I'm going to be playing with that some more, so I'd love to get your feedback on what you think of the new layout. And if you have any suggestions for me, I'd sure love to hear it. All right, well, let's get back to the six R's. We're going to try and finish these up today because summer's almost over. And so we're going to talk about both reading professional books and revising units and lessons. Now, when it comes to reading professional books, I'm going to kind of divide this into two areas. First, general books about teaching, and then books that are specific to teaching literature or teen literacy books. Now, under general books about teaching, there are so many books I could mention. you know best what you need to read. You know, but I'll mention a few that, and these to me are classics. They're not necessarily old, but I think they're classics in the sense that they're essential. They're core books that would really enhance any teacher's library. And the first one is probably one that you picked up along your training somewhere. And if you didn't, if this book got overlooked as you were getting your education, getting your degree to become a teacher, then you should really pick this up and take a look at it. It's called The First Days of School, and it's by Harry Wong. And it is the best preparation for the school year that I've ever read. He's got some great, great tips. I don't follow everything he says in there, but almost everything. It is absolutely fabulous. He is an expert teacher. He knows what he's talking about. And those of you that have this book are probably nodding along right now and saying, yes, it's a great book. So if you don't have it, pick it up. I mentioned a couple of books last time. I mentioned Marva Collins' book, Marva Collins' Way, and also Parker Palmer's The Courage to Teach. Those are also great books. Another good book to have is Classroom Instruction That Works. And the author's name is eluding me right now. I think it's Marzano. And that's a great research-based book about what strategies really make a difference in the education of students. That's a fantastic book. So take a look at that one. Teaching with Love and Logic. If you're not familiar with the Love and Logic work by Jim Fay and Foster Klein, this is a great book to start with. It's a fantastic approach. It's not a program. It's not a structured, formal approach to classroom management. They're just tips and tricks and ways of thinking that will revolutionize the way that you manage your classroom. If you've never read anything from the Love and Logic Institute, they're extremely well put together. They're very reasonable to try to implement. Nothing radical. It's as radical as you want it to be. It made a huge difference in my teaching career. They're very concerned with lowering the stress level of the teacher and not using your energy so much for managing and retaining that energy for teaching. Foster Klein, Jim Fay have put together a book that's full of very practical tips and very funny at the same time. And if you ever have a chance to see Jim Fay speak, I highly recommend it. I saw him speak in Las Vegas last year, and he was hilarious in a way that reaches the heart, the teaching heart in all of us, but also in a way that's so true. You know, sometimes teaching is just too funny, and he can really capture a lot of that humor. Let's see. Oh, a book I read, and I mentioned this, I'm trying to mention this to everybody that I can, because it really is a great book, and I'm sure I mentioned it before in this podcast series, but it's called Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. And they've discovered some great things about how ideas become memorable and how to make your ideas memorable. Now, their approach is a marketing approach. They're tackling this. Well, one of them tackles this from how can we use this in business, but the other one, how can we use this in education? And it's a fantastic book. And it's got a great cover. You can't miss it. Bright, bright orange with a big piece of duct tape on the cover. Really well worth it. I don't buy hardcover books usually, but I bought this one, and it's been really, I keep going back to it. Whenever I go to, if I have a big idea that I want my students to remember, one of the few big ideas of the year, there's always, four or five big ideas that you want your students to walk away with. Well, this would be a great book to go to plan how you're going to get that idea across in a way that they'll never forget it. All right, well, that's general books, so let's talk about books specific to teen literacy. Of course, there's the classics, like In the Middle by Nancy Atwell, and that has a brand new edition out. Now, when I say brand new, I think maybe in the last year or two. And then Literature Circles by Harvey Daniels. That's a book that I had never owned myself. Now, I picked it up this summer because I really want to incorporate literature circles into my classroom this year. So I picked that up, and I'm reading a series. I think it's the Reading Apprenticeship Group put these out. The first book in the series is Reading for Understanding, and then there's a title called Building Academic Literacy. Then there's the Building Academic Literacy Anthology, and they have a very interesting approach to teaching reading. They've put together this anthology of short stories and essays that ask the students to think about themselves as readers. And that's how they begin. They have a ninth grade program that walks students through the process of thinking about what it means to read, what reading is, what reading does for a person, and it challenges them to define themselves as a reader. So I'm really interested. I've read the first two, Reading for Understanding and Building Academic Literacy, and the third one is on its way as we speak. It's coming from Amazon, and it's the anthology. And if it's as good as I think it is, I may have to try and talk my principal into switching over to that anthology next year. This is kind of a little sidebar here. The way I teach literature, of course, I'm a teacher, and so anything that's cheap or free is good for me. And so I love getting books online for free, like classics from Project Gutenberg is mostly where I get a lot of the texts I use with my students. And so I also am a big advocate of writing in books, marking up the text. So if you've read my book, Roman Reading, you know that that's a huge part of my reading philosophy. And so what I love to do is I love to pick short stories and in some cases full-length novels from the internet. And my students all have three-ring binders. And I print these stories out and punch three holes, punch them with a three-hole binder or a three-hole punch for their binder. And the kids put these stories in their binders, and that way they can mark on them and they can go back to the text over and over and highlight them and underline them. And it also allows me to have a real dynamic textbook. We do have a literature anthology, and it's great, but the kids can't write in it. We use it for poetry. We use it for some short stories. But what I love is this three-ring binder because it becomes the textbook for the class. And I can choose whatever poems, whatever short stories, whatever novels I think will fit this particular group. And whatever happened to strike my fancy, because we all know the more passionate we are about what we're teaching, the better we teach. So if I know of a poem or a short story that really grabs my attention and it's out of copyright, I can go online, download it, print it out for everybody, and we use it. So so that's kind of part of my approach to teaching, a part of a strategy that I'll talk more about that as the year goes by, because I think that's a very useful way to come up with things to teach for your students this year or any year. So I'm kind of rambling a little bit. Sorry, got off track a bit. But though I do have an anthology with my students, this Building Academic Literacy anthology might be something that we could move to next year or in future years. All right, well, that's enough about reading professional books. You can find all the titles that I've mentioned at the Teen Literacy Bookstore. And all the proceeds to that bookstore go to benefit the Teen Literacy mission of trying to improve the teaching of literature to students in middle school and high school. There's a section in that bookstore just on teenagers, and there's only two books there right now, Queen Bees and Wannabes, which is a great book on adolescent teenage girls. A little bit redundant there. It's a book on teenage girls and how to work with them. And then there's also Parenting Teens with Love and Logic, which is directed at parents, but there's some great tips for teachers in there as well. There's also a pretty comprehensive section devoted to DVDs for teachers, stocked with some of the movies I talked about in the last podcast, Dead Poets Society, Mr. Holland's Opus, lots and lots of great inspirational teacher movies there. All right, well, let's talk about revising lesson plans. This is the final R. We're coming to the end of our six R's of a successful summer vacation. And I really don't have a lot to say about revising lesson plans, except that now is the time to take out the reflections you made at the very beginning of the summer and use them to adjust your teaching strategies and lessons for this coming year. You know yourself and your students best, so I'm not going to try and pretend to give you any great advice about revising your lesson plans. But, you know, I'm an English teacher, so I do have a few comments. Do revise your lesson plans. Don't get stuck in recycling and just kind of putting new dates on your lesson plans from last year. Pick something that you haven't tried yet before. Try experimenting a little bit. I'm going to be trying to implement literature circles more this year. In the past, what I've done is I've done little mini literature circles where in the middle of a novel or something, I'll give them an issue from the novel to talk about in a small group. So I've kind of done more small group discussions than real literature circles. So this year I'm going to try and do the whole let the students pick their own books to a certain degree. I'm still a little bit uncomfortable with that whole idea, but I want to be more comfortable with that. So I'm going to try it. I'm going to try and ease into literature circles this year. So what are you going to do this year that's different, that's new? Now, remember that life changes all the time and our teaching must adapt to those changes, but that doesn't mean abandoning what works. I'm certainly not going to abandon what's been successful for me in the past. I'm kind of a schizophrenic teacher myself. I do admire some pretty old school teaching strategies. My teaching can look pretty traditional at times, but I also like to try new things. The trick is figuring out what's an educational fad and what's a major paradigm shift, and that can be pretty tricky. So I still work on that myself all the time, trying to figure out, am I being left behind here in this major paradigm shift, or am I just not following the herd in these educational fads that come and go? I like to go back to what works, and people are people, and they've been the same for thousands of years, but our tools have changed. We've got some great technology tools right now and some great resources on the internet to help us with those tools. Maybe you want to pick one new technology thing to implement this year. Maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's making a classroom blog. Just pick one and start with that. You're the professional. What you need to do to revise and what's been rolling around in your head all summer that you want to try. So try it. Do it. Take that chance. You can always change in midstream. All right, well, that's about it for this episode. Finally, I've got a quote about teaching literature. It's actually a quote about reading, and I use it with my students, but I think it fits in this podcast, seeing that we've talked so much about reading professional books. It's by Thomas Carlyle, and Thomas Carlyle says, "The best effect of any book is that it excites the reader to self-activity. The best effect of any book is that it excites the reader to self-activity." So I hope the books you read as you prepare for school this year excite you to an active, fruitful school year. Send your comments and questions to teenliteracy@nicksanger.com, or you can comment on the blog, www.nicksanger.com/blog. All right, goodbye for now, and let's end by turning on the Teen Literacy Radio. When you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Follow where For more teen literacy resources, please visit www.nicksenger.com. You can send comments or questions to teenliteracy@nicksenger.com.